I don't know who you are. I don't know what you want. If you are looking for a ransom, I can tell you I don't have money. But what I do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills I have acquired over a very long career. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you. If you let my daughter go now, that'll be the end of it. I will not look for you. I will not pursue you. But if you don't, I will look for you. I will find you. And I will kill you.
Welcome to the Up to the Challenge podcast.
Hey, hey, what's up? It's the Zisu back again. And this is East Society Presents Up to the Challenge. On this pod, we challenge each other to watch something. Movie, TV show, documentary, or whatever, as long as it's streaming or available. Then we'll discuss what we thought and present the next challenge. This is episode 15. Today we'll be talking about Taken and The Hitcher. But before I go any further, he doesn't know who you are. He doesn't know what you want. If you are looking for a ransom, I can tell you, he doesn't have money. But what he does have is a very particular set of skills. Skills he has acquired over a very long career. Skills that make him a nightmare for people like you. And if you let his daughter go now, that'll be the end of it. He will not look for you. He will not pursue you. But if you don't, he will look for you. He will find you, and he will kill you. It's the Nez!
Yo, yo, I got plenty of mic skills, but that whole intro just ruined the intro of the show because when I stuck at the beginning. But, oh, well, hey, that's how it goes. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the show. We are back, episode 15. Hey, everyone, thank you so much for checking out our two-year anniversary show.
Yes,
and,
thank you.
Yeah, man. Other than that, man, we got more for you. Got another show, and plus everyone checking out the Anchor stuff.
Check that out.
Thank you so much, and here we go.
Yeah, here we go. Let's go. After that intro, I don't know how we couldn't start with Taken, so let's kick it off with Taken.
Yeah, because I'm going to do a lot more talking about The Hitcher. Taken, 2008, PG-13 action crime thriller. This is directed by Pierre Morel. Moral, I don't know how you say it. Written by Luc Besson and Robert Mark Carmen. I don't know how you say it. Stars Leslie Nielsen, Maggie Grace, what's her nuts from X-Men? Famke Janssen, and a bunch of other guys. I don't even want to try to pronounce their last names. But a retired CIA agent. That's who he worked for?
Yeah,
I don't think they even really mentioned it, but I don't know.
Just briefly in the beginning.
Retired CIA agent travels across Europe and relies on his old skills to save his estranged daughter, who has been kidnapped while on a trip to Paris. This movie wasn't anything we haven't seen before. I mean, there's been a ton of movies with this type of thing, and there's been other movies that were better than this whole situation. I enjoyed this one. I thought it was awesome. I really loved Leslie Nielsen's performance. All I can see is Qui-Gon. Thanks, George Lucas. Everything he's done, that's all I see. But, man, he was pretty savage in this, man. He was no joke. I mean, I think my favorite part when he was killing fools, or he didn't kill them, you guys should have seen this. This is 10 years old.
10-year anniversary.
When he got that first guy. Well, first of all, his daughter, Maggie Grace, she was supposed to be 17. I don't think she was 17 when they made this.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too, I want to throw out right now for you to mention on. This is one of the, it seems like this happens all the time in movies where the directors who are usually in their like 50s or 60s throw their musical taste. I think it's nuts that she was following U2 around Europe. I mean, not that you can't be young and like U2, but it just seemed so unlikely for a person that age to want to do that.
I don't know. I mean, you two, I was like, okay. I mean, that's like following the Grateful Dead around. But yeah, right. 17-year-old, let's just say this was 2007 when they were filming it. I don't know. I mean, she could have been, I mean, look at my kids. They've been listening
to
Metallica since they were babies. And that's like one of their favorite bands. So yeah, okay. Maybe her mom or her dad, most likely her mom, because it seemed like she was only around her. Pretty much her whole life listening to you two. Her mom's the right age, so yeah, I could. That's not bad. I can believe that. I mean, just because my experiences with my kids and the great Metallica, which I'm going to see in December up in Portland. So any of you listeners are up there, look for me. I'll be there. I'll have my Magnus T-shirt on. So, but anyway, so she's, I guess, getting ready to graduate I guess 17, maybe.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
She wants to go on one hurrah with her friends in Europe, saying that she just can go there and they're going to hang out and see museums and all that. Our mom and dad aren't together anymore. What was her name? Fiery Phoenix or Jean? What's her name in X-Men?
Yeah, Jean Grey.
Yeah, Jean Grey in X-Men. or Phoenix. I don't know why I said Fiery Phoenix. I was thinking of something else. But anyway, so Qui-Gon and the Phoenix are married, but they are divorced, I mean. And their daughter, she wants to go on, just go party with her friends. Well, go look at museums, like I said. And her mom is already remarried. She married that one asshole dad in... Terminator 2, plus he's the leader of the Hilltop and Walking Dead. She remarried him, and he seems like a cool guy. I don't know, I need to see the other two movies. This movie made me want to watch those other two, so they're not streaming anywhere, but I'll find them.
You will find them.
So she's like, yeah, she wants to go. And she basically had to sign this paper saying that it was okay for his underage daughter to go travel on the other side of the world without one of their parents. So the mom's already like, I think the situation between the mom and the dad, I can understand that. My friend's parents that were divorced on the tug of war with your children, I could see that. So plus, I mean, the mom did have a pretty good a deal to where, I mean, she was like, you were never around, and I can see, because she, the mom kept saying that, look, I was waiting for your call, didn't know if you were ever going to call or someone was going to come to the door and say you're never calling again. I mean, just stuff like that. She knew. But she should have knew the deal once she got into that relationship with Qui-Gon.
Right.
I mean, especially with his line of work, man. I mean, you got to know. I mean, this is what I do. But I do understand that you're still going to worry. I would worry if Renee was doing secret missions and all that, and I would be worried sick. But anyway, so I understand what she's talking about. But anyway, so that kind of just drove a wedge between them two, and then they're divorced, and now... the Phoenix is living with the Hilltop asshole, and but he wasn't in this. He was cool, man. He was super rich. I can't remember what he did to have his millions of dollars. But so Qui-Gon agreed. Okay, you can go to Paris with your friends. So she's all happy and everything. So she goes over there, and this movie just gets right into the action. For those of you that already seen it, you know, but not like me. I'm like 10 years late to the party. And I loved how it just jumped right into it. You meet this guy. I mean, this is what pisses me off with stupid kids. I was never like this. I mean, people tried to talk to me when I was a kid. I just kind of, all right, whatever, and skate away. But And these girls are just like, oh, yeah, hey, just because some guy looks hot or you guys, maybe some girl looks hot, doesn't mean for you to, hey, I'm going to a party. You guys want to go? Yeah, let's go. I mean, it was just stupid decisions.
And happens, though.
It does. I mean, it always happens, especially in these movies. That they're like I said, this is a movie we've seen before. But it's, I don't know, man. If you need longer, younger listeners, if there's any, just think before. Yeah. And all you parents out there, tell your children to think. I tell mine, think before you act. Think about the consequences. If you know it's going to be bad or you're unsure of, think about it. I mean, I always did. I mean, what I thought about, never thought worried about the cops or anything. I was worrying about my mom, what she was going to do to me if it was right. Something bad. If she was going to beat my ass when I got home. So, but these were the days where you could beat your kids and there was no problem. Not like now where your kids can call the cops on you. But anyway, they go, yeah, whatever. So, I mean, that was the how they found that these girls, some, I guess he was a good looking guy, goes up to them speaking in his little Pepe Le Pew accent. No offense to any of you people, but that's just what they say it in movies. And I kind of got caught on to that. But anyway, my buddy, he was from over there and I called him Pepe. He didn't care. Anyway, so. They find out these two American girls both look weak, and then they just that's pretty much how it starts. They see them. We find these two girls. Later we find out that there's like human trafficking going on over there, and I'm sure it does. That happens everywhere, even here in America. So they find out where they are. Well, they basically took him to where they were staying. And almost told him the whole thing. Yeah, it's just us here. So it was like perfect. All right, we got two kids here. We can get no problem. So they go in there and bully their way in, and I guess they basically broke in. And then Maggie Grace's character, she's in, and they were in some huge house, because if she could see her from the other side of the building, looking through one window and into another, I mean, I was like, I can never figure out how these homes are like that. But anyway, so she sees that, but she's on the phone with her dad because he gave her this like international cell phone, said, look, you need to call me as soon as you get there. Especially with him, he knows that there's creepy crawlers out there, because the business that he did, he'd seen all parts of the world. And that's why he was so like, nah, I don't want you to go. But I think if he didn't let her go, it would have just driven that wedge between him and his daughter, and she would have just never wanted to be around him. So, all right. I mean, sometimes you gotta let your little kids let their hands go. So he, all right, you can go. And then he was right. There's creepy crawlers over there in Paris. So they basically break in, grab the other girl. She sees them. She's talking to her dad. This is one of the parts that I loved. He goes, listen, he kept telling, listen to me, because she was so scared. He goes, they're going to take you. I was like, wow, that was cool shit, man. He goes, just set the phone down. And as soon as you see him, start yelling out what they look like, how tall they are. Oh man, I thought that was brilliant. That was an awesome scene. I loved what he did. I mean, I loved how fast he hooked up his cell phone to all his little recording devices. I mean, but that was a good idea, man. I mean, I wouldn't have thought of that. I mean,
right.
I mean, but that was cool. He knew it. He goes, look, they're taking you regardless. He goes, I'm on the other side of the world, but you need to give me some clues. And I thought that was awesome. I really loved that scene because she was hiding under a bed. So basically she gets taken. He goes back, tells the mom, he goes, look, I know you're a billionaire. Give me a private plane. Luckily, she was married to a millionaire tycoon or whatever business he did, and he had access to private jets instantly. And then he flew over there, and this is when it was all going down, just him just doing what he had to do to find his daughter. I mean, a lot of these stories are sad, man. When you're watching the news or whatever, and you see these documentaries on this type of stuff,
for real,
they never find them. But then
I know.
No,
awful.
No one's ever, you're not a CIA agent with all these special skills, but I loved him, and he did what he, luckily for all his training. So that was cool, man. And I love that. And when he gets to the apartment, finds the cell phones, takes out the little phone card that's in there, goes and prints up pictures and sees, luckily they let that guy take a picture of them. And you could see his reflection off the telephone that was there, the phone booth or whatever. I guess I assume they have phone booths over in Paris still. But I was thinking, I don't think he would have found him if he didn't have that,
right.
that if he didn't catch that little clue with his picture, his reflection. And I don't think that would have happened. But anyway, it's a movie.
Yeah.
So he finds him and all that. So, and then that was his big clue to find out who he was. And he goes, he knows that he hangs out at the airport, because she told him, he said, because when he was talking to her on the phone, he goes, well, what did you do? Did you meet anybody anywhere? And that's when she told him, yeah, we met this guy at the airport. So that was a good place to start. Plus, when he got all the information that he knew, he gave it to his other buddies that were all retired CIA guys. And then that's when they all sprung into action and did what they could do and said, yes, there's when he recorded them off the cell phone. When those guys came in, they were speaking whatever language they were speaking. So they knew what it was. So, okay, they had a translator. This is what they were saying. This is the language they were speaking. So then they did more research saying that there is whatever kind of guys those were, whatever part of the country they're from, they do the human trafficking things. Plus,
Albania.
Yeah, plus there were some guys that were, they said they just set up camp in the Paris area. So he goes, all right, well, I'm going to start there. And then he goes to the airport and gets that guy. And he sees the guy go up and talk to some other girl, good-looking chick that just got off the plane. And this part was awesome, man. He just grabbed that fool, threw him in the car, and was just giving him rib shots. I can't remember what he said to him, but he basically, look, I'm punching you right here because you won't be able to move that good. just those straight shots to the ribs, man. I would have been throwing elbows to the face, but, I mean, you want them to talk, so. And that's when the action, this movie, it's only an hour and a half, so you only got that much time, and the action was there, just boom, 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 right. Boom, right. This movie moves so fast.
It does.
That's what I like. I'm probably one of the biggest things I liked, how fast it moved. There was no buildup to what was going on. It was just instantly boom, 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 boom. Each thing happened, and the rest of the movie, shootouts, car chases, and everything all the way up until he finds his daughter. And I thought this movie was awesome. I was sitting there at work watching it, and nice. I was like excited. Like I would, you know, when you get really excited watching a football game or something where you sit up, I was like sitting up watching all this. So
nice.
This movie was awesome. I need to pick it up because I want to watch it again. And did you see the next two?
Yes.
Were they just as good?
Yeah. I mean, it never can like recapture the feeling that you got for the first one. Same thing goes for the other like Neeson spinoffs. He did Nonstop and Run All Night. It has those, that kind of vibe. It was interesting how his like career turned, to that kind of film. 'Cause in a way there's something just so enjoyable about it. And they really cracked it with Taken. Just the nice hour and a half action, boom, 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 particular set of skills, and then him like implementing it. And that was I heard that was the whole idea behind this, to have like kind of an older action hero kind of bring that to the forefront. It's interesting. I'm sure you saw the Metascore on the IMDb. It's funny to read the top one because it immediately made me think of you. It says, there is no mythology, no irony, no real soul, just a Charles Bronson simplicity to the whole affair. And I know you're a huge Bronson fan.
No one has come close to what Charles Bronson has done, and ever will. But yeah,
right.
I mean, this is just one of those badass tough guys that's not the tough guy to where he's like, I want you to look at me and know you see a tough guy. This is just a regular little old dad. I don't know how tall Liam Neeson is, but
he's huge. I think he's like 6'7", 6'8".
So, I mean, but yeah, he doesn't look, well, I guess if you see a big old tall guy, they all look intimidating, but he doesn't have the normal everyday look, and you don't expect the badassery of Qui-Gon Jinn in this. I thought he sold it good. I really loved how fast paced this movie was. It was just boom, boom, boom. There was no any time where it got slow and you got out of the film. It just kept, whoever the director, man, he just kept throwing the action at you, which was good. I mean, especially for a movie like this, and that's how it works. I want to go back and check out his other films. But yeah, man, I thought this movie was pretty awesome. Makes me want to watch the next two, and it also made me want to watch Nonstop and Unknown, all his other ones. I seen The Gray, that was cool. A-Team, that was just an ensemble cast, so it wasn't him. But
no,
that movie was terrible.
I'm glad this kind of opened the door though to those other films for you, because they're just enjoyable in that kind of, hey, just a quick, fun hour and a half thrill ride, you know,
Nonstop. I think I'm more I was probably more curious seeing that before I seen Taken, just other than I work at an airport, and I'd like going back to your random pick from the last episode, Passenger 57. I like those kind of actions when on the plane or on the airplane, especially Harrison Ford's one, Air Force One. That was a big shoot 'em up on an airplane. I thought that was awesome. Yeah, you can't shoot guns on airplanes because all hell breaks loose. But it's fun to see action stuff like that in the films. But Taken, if you have not seen it, you obviously know it ends good, because there's two more after this. I have no idea what those or how those end. I assume they end good, but I don't know. I'm going to go check them out. And after I watch them, I'll probably talk about them on the regular episode. But yeah, Taken, starring Liam Neeson, Maggie Grace. Oh, I love Maggie Grace. I fell in love with her in Lost.
Yep.
Shannon Rutherford.
And this was right around that time, too.
Shannon Rutherford was her name. Yeah, she was a bitch and everything, but that's when I started to like her. But anyway, plus she's awesome. You can see her every week on Fear the Walking Dead. Or is it over with?
Fear is just winding down. I think it actually is over.
Okay, well, I'm behind. I'll be
regular over. Walking Dead starts this week.
I thought it started in October.
Yeah, standard Walking Dead starts this week, I think.
Okay, well,
does it?
I thought it was always October.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Okay.
I've been seeing so many commercials for it. I thought it was this week. I think I got thrown off.
I don't know. I like more the blonde head Maggie Grace, but hey, just a good Sierra in a killer movie, and plus an awesome TV show. So everyone, check out Taken if you haven't seen it. Those of you that have seen it, like the Zisu, you already knew.
Yeah.
And I was glad I was challenged to this, because this movie was pretty awesome.
Nice. My last two quick follow-ups before we move on to The Hitcher. One, just for me, especially with Jade traveling so much, and then when, you know, became an overseas thing, like, it hit home for me there. And then even now, like, you know, just I watch so many of this true life crime stories and stories about, like we were just saying, about people really getting taken and trafficking and all that. It's so scary. And then of course, taking her, driving her down to Merced on 5 there, you've got these billboards talking about, like, it does happen, like, be aware, be safe. So that's what's got me mostly on edge when she goes out. I'm like, you know, make sure you stay with people, try not to be out too late, you know, really scary stuff. So it hits home for me there. The last thing I wanted to get the kind of reaction to you from is that big old speech, which has become the thing. You said you tagged it in front of the episode, and then I gave you the big intro. What do you think of that? And then just the reaction of the pause and then the good luck.
I had already seen that because everyone talks about it in post videos, so it wasn't really the very. I could tell you the very first time I heard it, I thought that was some badass shit to say, but it didn't. it didn't do anything to me because I already knew it was coming. I
mean, right.
It's right on the poster. So
yeah,
but yeah, just as far, when I very first heard it, I remember however years ago when this movie came out, I thought that was something badass to say to someone, and like I say, it did work. I don't think they should have. I think they should have kept that one.
Right.
For I know it was something big to say in the trailers and everything, but they should have just kind of kept that one under wraps for a little bit.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny. Can you think of any other films that have really done that, like used like a phrase like that as like the selling point?
There's a lot of movies, man. Just go look at a lot of action movie posters. I mean, like with the First Blood Part 2.
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course.
I'm coming to get you or Arnold's is one-liners. I'll be back and Let's Party from Commando. I mean, it's probably not as long as his big speech, but a lot of these posters, man. I mean, they especially during the 80s, they threw the tagline from if it wasn't in the trailer, I mean, they threw the tagline on the poster, and that was something you always wanted to see. I think the most iconic one so far to me, in my opinion, some people might not think, is Clint Eastwood from Sudden Impact. Go ahead, make my day. I mean, yeah. How awesome is that? Or his, if you want to go with Clint Eastwood again with his long speech, his whole this is the 357, the most powerful handgun in the world, and it can blow your head clean off. I mean, that whole speech. I mean, yeah, man. I mean, right. Movies do that, but this is probably one of them. If you, maybe in the newer times, maybe younger listeners don't even know who Dirty Harry is or who John Rambo is.
Right.
But John Rambo's, he's making a comeback. He's making another film, which is awesome. Probably won't be as awesome as the last one, but I'm already sucked in. I've been a fan of the John Rambo series since I was a kid in the 80s, and it was awesome to see a new one. I can't remember when that last one came out, but it was, I think it was in the 2000s.
Yeah, it's the one where he was going up the river, right?
When he went to Burma. Year was that?
Yeah,
if it wasn't early 2000s,
I had to take those people up the river.
I think this it came out the same time as this one, 2008.
Oh wow,
that's probably why I didn't really care for this one, man. You can't top Stallone, so I think Stallone might have got me away from this, but both awesome films.
I gotcha.
But this one was awesome, man. You could definitely check it out. It was streaming on Cinemax. If you guys have their Cinemax Max Go or whatever the hell it's called, check it out on there. It always comes on TV. I always see it, but I never catch it from the beginning, so I just go over it. It's awesome. It's only PG-13, so there's no the subject matter is a little iffy, but there's no nudity or anything in this. Language, that's about it. If there was an F-bomb, there might have been one, but I don't think there was, but just action and violence. The violence is pretty tame, PG-13, because there would have been blood everywhere in this for all the amounts for all the amount of shooting that they were doing. This movie's awesome. Check it out.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm glad we were able to bring it to you on Up to the Challenge. All right, ready to get into the Hitcher?
Go for it.
Okay, here we go. 1986, The Hitcher. A young man who escapes the clutches of a murderous hitchhiker is subsequently stalked by the Hitcher and framed for his crimes. The stars Rutger Hauer and C. Thomas Howell, a few kind of guest appearance scenes, Jennifer Jason Leigh, Jeffrey DeMunn. Yeah, that's pretty much the cast to speak of. Directed by Robert Harmon. Written by Eric Red. It's kind of funny to, before I get into what it's about and what I thought of it, it's kind of funny to see the Metascore is on IMDb. It shows as a 32, but it does have some high ratings, an 80, a 75, 70, 70. But the very bottom, you've got Siskel and Ebert both giving it zeros. And it's just kind of funny to see that because If you've listened to any of our anchors recently, we're kind of doing our take on the rewatchables in response to the pod, the rewatchables. And it's funny, at least Bill Simmons on those pods, he's like always up in arms about the old Siskel and Ebert reviews, because it seems like every one of their rewatchables gets bad reviews from Siskel and Ebert going back. So there's other guys on iPod that defend them, and obviously they're legends, but it's kind of funny to see that here, that they both gave this a zero, and which kind of, like I said, tanks its Metascore. All that being said, yeah, I was pleasantly surprised how much I enjoyed this film, and I was really in a weird mind space watching this. I decided to put it on late. Maybe I shouldn't have put it on that late, but I was like actually pretty sleepy. I think it was near midnight when I decided to put it on. So there was actually a couple times where like I didn't mean to, but I was like kind of almost passing out. And that's not to say that it was a bad film. It was actually really good, but I was like, oh, catch yourself. What are you doing? Like, watch it. Like, I was really into it, but it just put me in a weird mind space to watch this, and I'm definitely going to watch it again. I liked it. I liked it a lot, and it's funny because just looking at the IMDb review, I see the poster, and I totally remember seeing this like at the video store and posters and stuff like that. And you know, I never grew up really as a horror fan and or even suspense thriller type person, so it's funny like to go back after all this time. It came out in 86, so I was 7 at the time. And yeah, it's funny to go back and actually see it. And I think I saw it at the right time, because I was actually able to really appreciate it for what it was. I liked a lot about this. There's so much about it that is over the top. It's almost like dreamy. Like, some of it comes off, you know, a little unreal. But then you also think back to the 80s and you think like, okay, well, think of the technology of the time, and this takes place kind of in the middle of the country. And what's that one film? You know, Nez, that one film where I think it's Kurt Russell, and it's like he's on the
breakdown,
the road, and kind of being, yeah. It reminded me of that, almost, the vibes of that. And I had seen that a long time ago and watched that again recently in the past couple of years. But yeah, there was a lot to like about this. I actually liked the performance, the Rutger Hauer. It's interesting how it opens up with the C. Thomas Powell, the kid. And the first thing he says is like, oh, my mom said I should never do this. And he like lets him in, and he's like not talking to him. He's asking questions, and he won't really respond. And he's getting a little freaked out. Like, I think I'm just going to drop you off. But I don't know. It was interesting, because in the end, after this whole ordeal of, you know, you've got cops and other citizens come in, and there's gas stations and police stations and everything like that, there almost seems to be like this, like, almost underlying message of like, watch out or you might become the monster. Like, I was actually wondering for a good amount of the movie if there even was a Rutger Hauer character. I was starting to think that might be a twist, that he didn't exist and it was actually this kid's almost like dark side, and he was doing that. There are some things later on that kind of prove that that's not the case, and there really is this guy. But I don't know, there's a lot to love about this film. I'm guessing you got out to see this in the theaters when it first came out, right?
Yeah, this was a movie Mike and I, friend of the show Mike, we went and seen it. I had no idea what it was. I remember seeing the trailers in there, but back then trailers, I didn't really pay that much attention to them like I do now. But right. Yeah, this movie, we went and saw it. And hold on a second. Sorry. Anyway, so we went and seen it, and I was like, okay, what is this? Starts off kind of slow in the beginning. You just see this kid, Jim Halsey, driving across the country. I don't know. I assume maybe New Mexico, Arizona, somewhere around there. Who knows?
But, he left Illinois. I know that. That's what made me think more middle of the country, Oklahoma-ish.
Probably, because he was on his way to San Diego because he was doing a drive away. Back then, they had people rent. I assume it was somebody's car that they needed it in California, so he was driving across country over there. And so that's what he was doing in this. It wasn't just his. They never really said where he was going or why he was going to California. He just needed a car to get there. So perfect way. You're going there anyway. Here, take this car along with you. So he goes, and along the way is when he picks up John Ryder. That's Rector Howard's character. And then this is another one, man. It just jumps right into it. There's no time. I mean, Jim is trying to talk to Rector Howard, like, and he's not just kind of making sense. Plus, it was raining and everything, so he's all wet. And then this is when we kind of realize that there's something off about John Ryder. We don't find out his name until almost the end of the movie. Then it just, the way Rector Howard just tortures him the whole way, and basically saying that I'm going to kill you, so you better not try to do anything. And Jim Halsey at one point finally pushes him out of the car, because when he got in, he didn't really shut the door all the way because the door ajar light was on, so he knew that. But before all that, man, he was basically just torturing him while they were driving. He had a knife to his throat, was gonna stick it in his eye, and telling him that, he goes, "I want you to say this," and he's like, "What?" And he goes, "I want to die." And I was like, whoa. I mean, that was kind of ruthless. I mean, especially back then. I mean, Rector Howard is an amazing actor. He had a big run in the 80s, and then he pops into
Blade Runner.
He pops into things off and on. I think that my favorite movie that he had did was Wanted Dead or Alive. You old schoolers, you guys probably know what that is. But anyway, so he's like, he pushes him out of the car, and then he thinks, he thinks he gets away from him. But this is just the beginning of the hell that's coming with him. It's going to follow Jim Halsey, because his whole trip from where he was, I think this might have been into one state, maybe two, Rector Howard's character kept following him, kept catching up to him. But along the way, he was killing all these people. He killed a whole family. He murdered somebody in a diner. And this is when we get Jennifer Jason Leigh's character, Nash. She comes into play, and he's like, she doesn't really know if she can believe him or not. But I mean, just the reign of hell that's been following Jim Halsey is John Ryder's character. So I mean, I don't want to ruin the end. Because a lot of people, have you ever heard of this before I brought it up? I mean, you did mention that you had seen The Box, but did you know anything about it?
Other than that, no. And that's what's funny, just looking at the poster. And if you go on IMDb, you can see the poster kind of has the kind of rear view mirror with the wide open eyes, and then the silhouette of the hitcher, and it says, "Never pick up a stranger." The terror starts the moment he stops. I feel like that's just so iconic. And there's so much about it too, being that it's from 86, that it just emanated everything I love about just that 80s vibe.
Yeah. I mean, just from beginning to end, just the hell that, the Rector Howard's character did to C. Thomas's character, the whole way, all the way to the very end. It was awesome. And you had awesome shootouts. You had awesome car chases, awesome stunts. This is in the all or nothing days. No CGI, no none of that. This practical effects, awesome stunt driving. There's a car chase scene where cop cars flip and everything. I mean, there was an awesome helicopter chase chasing the car. I mean, it was the cinematography in this was beautiful, because it was a lot of wide shots of the scenic background. I thought that was cool. And I mean, watching it now on these big TVs, you can kind of see it. But back in the 80s, when people that just heard about this or went and rented it, you had those small little square TVs. But seeing this on the big screen, I only saw it once. I saw it twice. Twice on the big screen, and I loved it. This movie is awesome. I don't know if it's got a cult following, but it's because I rarely see it at these old, when they bring back movies. Like usually college towns have these theaters that show all these old movies, like the kind of theaters that show Rocky Horror every weekend at midnight. But yeah, man, this movie's awesome. There was a sequel that came out in 2003. It was just like straight to video. It wasn't very good. Jim Halsey, he's in it again. C. Thomas Howell, his character. But this time the Hitcher is played by actor Jake Busey. I have the movie. I watched it maybe once. I don't really remember it. It wasn't very memorable. So I couldn't even tell you. I'm going to have to dig it out and watch it again. I think the main reason I picked it up is because I was a huge fan of the first film, and it was cool to see that C. Thomas Howell brought his character back. So I wanted to see what was happening in this. And like I said, it wasn't very memorable, so I don't remember a thing about it. But anyway, man, this movie's awesome, man. I love C. Thomas Howell. He's like right off of Outsiders because he had a string of movies in the 80s. I mean, I know. Outsiders was probably his big break. But we'd seen him in E.T. I think right after E.T. he did Outsiders. Oh, he also did a movie called Tank, which I love. And Red Dawn. No, this was right after Red Dawn. Okay, so he did that. And then The Hitcher. And then the next movie was the controversial film Soul Man. have you seen that one?
No.
Basically, blackface.
Oh no. Yikes.
Oh man, that movie's awesome. But yeah, and then he just kind of slowly started to not be the flavor of the month. He's been constantly working. He does TV, he does movies. He was in Netflix Marvel Punisher. He was in that. He was also in, I don't know if it was Spider-Man or The Amazing Spider-Man. He was in one of those ones. It was a small little, The Amazing Spider-Man. He was a small little role. He was only on the screen for a minute. But I'm looking at his IMDb right now. He's been working his ass off. A lot of TV stuff. He was even a voice in the Suicide Squad video game. I think what he's got coming up is a bunch of stuff I never heard of, but he's still working, man. I know he was just at a convention I was going to go to, but I missed it. But awesome to see Thomas Howell. He's aged. He's not the young.
Little, oh yeah. You can see it on the IMDb.
Not the little sure. Young pony boy that he was, but I mean, it's good to see that he's had such a awesome career. I mean, maybe it wasn't the biggest. It was big in the '80s, but he kept working. He just didn't fall off the face of the planet. So, but as far as C. Thomas Howell, this is probably my favorite movie that he had done. I love The Outsiders. I love Tank. I even love Soul Man. But this is probably my favorite movie that he's done. But if you want to go, because he was the main star. It was his whole movie. Red Dawn, yeah. He was just like a co-star. But he was badass as Robert in the original Red Dawn. Not that bullshit remake. But yeah, this movie's awesome. I love it. It comes on rarely on regular TV, but was this on HBO or Cinemax?
Yeah, this was on HBO, and I'm definitely going to go back to it and watch it again. I'd have to say we've done now 15 of these. I'd probably put this in the top five of what you've had me challenge too. I really did enjoy it, and it was, like I said, it was funny. It was enhanced by the fact I put it on so late. I probably shouldn't have, but I was like, let me get this out, let me knock this out, and then I had a hard time staying up for it, but I didn't miss anything. So
what was your favorite one so far?
The one that I had no idea about, the Class of 84.
Okay.
That was incredible. And I had never heard of it, and it blew my mind. It had he's only in it for like a little, but the Michael J. Fox performance. And then like, I was like, how had I not heard of this? And then you sent me to YouTube for it. And I was like, what is this? Some like TV movie? Like, at first I was really skeptical, and then once it got going, I was like, this is incredible. This is unbelievable. So, yeah, that's by far my favorite challenge so far.
It's kind of hard to say what is my favorite, man. Everything you've challenged me to has been good. We're going to have to do
I think Longmire, because you, that's the one, like, I asked you just to watch the pilot, and you ended up binging six seasons. So I'd probably nominate that for you.
I'm thinking more Longmire, yeah, because I really enjoyed that. I got sucked in that first episode and went through the whole entire series.
Yeah,
within a week. I went through the whole. I think I went through the whole series before we recorded. I don't remember, but you listeners probably remember. But I'm gonna have to go back and look at each one. Longmire is the only one that really stands out right now. I don't even remember what we did. The very first one.
I'm pretty sure the first one was Moana. That was my inspiration for starting this pod. I badly wanted you to watch Moana because I love that movie. So that was my inspiration for this pod. I was like, let's get some way to have each other watch something we wouldn't normally throw on. And for me, yeah, it's been a series of some tougher than others, some very enjoyable. I had The Witch, Babadook, things like that. The original, what we did for the special, Friday the 13th. Yeah. So, yeah, I've really liked, we've done 15 of these now, and I've really, I loved it. I love the run. Even on the ones where I was like, probably my two least favorites have been Raw and Irreversible were the two roughest ones.
Okay, the first episode we did, well, the movies were What We Do in the Shadows and I Don't Feel at Home in This World Anymore. Okay. Remember that. So, and then
we must have started it on E Society, because I remember Moana being the first thing we did, so that's interesting.
Then the second episode was Babadook and Longmire. Three was The Witch and The Wheelman. Oh, I'll probably put Wheelman my favorite one so far. That movie was awesome.
Yeah.
Then we did Deutschland 83, It Comes at Night, Valerian, and then we did Friday the 13th. Then we did Shimmer Lake, and we need to talk about Kevin. Shimmer Lake, I don't remember that one. I remember liking it, but I don't remember what it was about.
It was like pulled in reverse. Like,
oh, okay.
It was a bank robbery, basically, story.
Damn, we did. Yeah. We took a big break after that one. I think that was when we didn't do it for a while. Episode 8.
I think that was the con break.
Wait, I think I missed one.
Wasn't that Irreversible?
I'm sorry, I skipped a bunch. Valerian, Friday 13th, and we did Shimmer Lake and whatever. Then we did number 8 with Fantastic Beasts and Class 84.
Oh, yep.
Yes. It keeps changing on me. Episode 9 was Anchor. I can't remember what those ones are. I'm on the regular E Society. Or Skater Nez deal.
That's right.
Over the Garden Wall and Maria Full of Grace we did for 10.
Yep.
Barry was awesome. And the Greasy Strangler.
Yeah.
Then we did 11/22/63 and Irreversible. That was one I went through the whole thing before we did the episode. And then that was 12.
Right.
Was number 13. Raw and Star Trek. And 14, Last House on the Left and Coco. And this is 15, right? Is that
yep,
where we're at now?
15, oh, yeah. Taken in the history.
Yep. Yeah, man. But overall, man, I love Hitcher. Awesome film. Taken, badass. Do check out both of these movies if you guys have not seen them. And I think that's going to be the end of this episode. You got anything else?
Just quick follow-up on The Hitcher. We didn't mention, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on it, they did a remake in 2007 with Sean Bean. One, did you see it? Two, was it any good, worthy of a remake? And two, did you see 2001's Paul Walker's Joyride? Because that's actually a movie I had seen back in 2001, and it has vibes of The Hitcher.
I would say no, but I've seen them both. probably more Joyride, I would say, if I had to pick one.
Yeah,
I did like that one. I thought that was awesome. I know they made another one, which I never saw, but
how about 2007's Sean Bean's Hitcher? What do you think of that one?
Which one?
Or did you see it?
Oh, the remake.
Sean Bean. Yeah.
That one was horrible. That was a slap in the face.
Okay. I was wondering. I actually just out of curiosity, I went to see if I could find this remake when I was done, and I couldn't find it anywhere. You know, they got it for $2.99 on Amazon, but it wasn't on Netflix or Hulu or anything. So I was just wondering if it was worth checking out, but I'll take that as a no.
Hell no. It was garbage. I was just like, but the only thing good about that was Sophia Bush, but this movie was horrible. Hated it. I remember first time seeing a trailer for it. Had no idea it was coming. And I was the only one in the theater going, ugh. And everybody else was like, oh, man, I want to see that. And I was like, I just shook my head.
No.
I weep for the future. For those of you guys that don't know these movies, there are remakes. But that's the old grandpa in me. You guys know me. You guys should all know me by now. But yeah, I got nothing else, man. Thanks everyone for listening.
Well, we got to issue the next challenge before we get out of here,
man. See, all right. Give me something.
Okay. It's been a couple weeks. So, I haven't issued you a series, but I want to give you a series, but like always, I don't want you to watch the whole series. Just watch the pilot.
Give me a movie.
Just watch the pilot.
I'm caught up in another series right now. I don't want to get caught up in another one. Just give me one movie. I'm almost done with this series.
Okay. Next episode, I'm going to give you a thing, but like I said, it's only the pilot. I'm going to give you a movie right now.
What's the
series?
Yeah,
next time, I want to give you this series.
Just give it to me. What is it?
The Night of.
What?
It's a miniseries starring Riz Ahmed and John Turturro.
Wait, what? I didn't even hear you. You kind of went in and out.
The Night of. It's a miniseries on HBO starring Riz Ahmed and John Turturro.
I watched an episode of that.
Just the first episode.
I watched that already. You had mentioned it a while ago on the regular show. And I liked Riz Ahmed.
All right.
Because you were talking about it, and I was like, okay. I mean, Riz Ahmed, I'll give it a shot. Yeah, the first episode. That's the one I watched.
All right. Well, we don't have to do a whole episode on it, but just real quick, you like it?
It was all right. I never went back to it.
Okay. That's fine. Because, yeah, that was one of those things I only wanted you to watch the first episode. All right. I got another one for you. It's a movie. Netflix, Killing Season. You know this one, Travolta, De Niro?
Sounds familiar. Let me look.
I once used it as a random recommendation on the show, so it's a good follow-up for that.
Oh, I did see this. I saw it at work. It was on TV.
Okay. All right. Let's see if I can hit you with the third one. You seen Ex Machina yet?
Yeah, I've seen that.
You're destroying my list.
Well,
all right.
Because of this show, we watch everything.
Right. How about, okay, how about this, I give you another, it's a show, but like I said, just watch just the first episode. It's a Netflix show called 3%.
You might be strike three. I think I heard of 3%.
Strike three.
Three percent. Hold on.
It's a Brazilian show. It's from the guy that did City of God, but it's like a post-apocalyptic show.
Is it the number three or the
yeah
spelt out
number three? 3%.
Oh, okay. Well, I was spelling out percent.
No.
You're out of luck. I saw some of this.
Okay.
I think when you said 3%, I spelled out the number. I spelled out THREE. Geez, how many seasons are there? Three?
I know there's at least a second season.
Well, they said there's, it says three on here. This is when I'm just like, show talk. I just look around and start watching something and then just click into it and start going.
All right. Let's go topical. I'd be shocked. And if you have seen this yet, we haven't talked about it on the pod. So how about Maniac, the new show? It just launched this last Friday.
I saw it.
Okay.
I already watched it. Not so, the whole yeah, thing. I because I love Emma Stone and what's his name? Seth. What was his name?
Jonah Hill.
Yeah, him.
So yeah, let's do that. Just the first episode.
I already watched
it. We'll talk about that.
I already watched it. I mean, something I didn't see. Well, here, have you seen?
Oh man,
have you seen Drag Me?
We might have to cut this whole section from the pod.
It's all right, man. Have you seen Drag Me to Hell?
No.
It's on HBO. Watch that.
Okay. And this has got to be the most I've ever gone through before getting one for you. This is like, I think, my sixth or seventh try for you. How about Jean-Claude Van Johnson Amazon?
Seen it already.
Christ.
Come on, dude. Because of this show, we watch everything.
Sneaky Pete on Amazon?
It doesn't sound. Is it a movie?
No, it's a series. So, yeah,
me,
just
man.
The first episode. Just the first episode.
I hate this guy, that Giovanni Ribisi.
The one guy is behind it, though, Bryan Cranston. He's the one that made it.
That doesn't mean nothing. synopsis. There's a bunch of you. Con man on the run from a vicious gangster takes over, assuming identity of his prison cellmate. Ooh. I've never seen this, so it sounds familiar, though. When did this come out?
Couple years ago. The second season just hit earlier this year.
Okay. Well, all right. I'll give it the first episode a shot.
Okay, just the first episode, finally.
Stop coming at me with these series, man. Just give me movies.
Well, see, that's the thing, because so many of them, it's tough. You know, the first thing I'm going to do, though, is I'm going to replenish this list, because it just got decimated. I had a list, and I pretty much just went down it, and it's tore up, so.
I know. I mean, all the crazy stuff I'm giving you, I know you've never seen.
Right. And that's what's crazy. It's like I can almost never hit you with the first one. So,
all right. Well, so
be it.
Check out Drag Me to Hell. That was directed by the great Sam Raimi. Awesome film. I love it. If you guys are fans of the Evil Dead series, the original Evil Dead series, you can get the vibe of his filmmaking in Drag Me to Hell. Yeah, and I'm going to watch Sneaky Pete with his name, Giovanni Ribisi, whatever. I hate him, but all right, I'll give it a shot.
Okay, there we go. Up to the challenge. We did it.
Yeah. All right, everybody, thank you so much for listening. I got to get out of here. Everyone's waiting for me.
Yeah. All right, have fun, be safe. E-Society, up to the challenge.